Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the last narrow line of the Gemara on Daf Ayin Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin. We have the nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Rebbe Oimer She'eno Yodea Mahu, number 1. Rebbe declares that he doesn't understand point 1. We have 2 points that Rebbe feels he doesn't understand, and the Gemara has to explain what his difficulty is. Number 1, Ger Tzedek Be'inyan Mechira, a convert to Judaism. We will see a source mentions him in the context of a sale. And number 2, Ger Toshav, a sojourner. This is a non-Jew who disavowed idolatry and accepted upon himself the 7 Noahide laws that lives in Israel. And we have a reference to a Ger Toshav, Be'inyan Ribis, regarding interest. Bahamshech, continuation of the Gemara, later in the Gemara, HaGemara Tazbir Mahoya Koshelo. What was difficult? What did Rebbe find difficult in these sources? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Yetzia Tshuvos, and in the course of the Gemara, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok will suggest answers. And in our markings, you will see his name highlighted with a volcano shape. Under the Mivneh, the structural note, a double underline appears, and you will, if you glance in the Gemara, you will see where these appear. The first one appears on the first wide line of the Gemara. Shnei halachas shel Rebbe, the 2 halachas that Rebbe makes reference to, and the second double underline you'll notice is around 6 lines from the bottom of the page. So in these 2 sections of Gemara, the 2 points that Rebbe feels are difficult will be highlighted. The triangle that you see highlights the expression v'raminu. Mikan nireh she loma Rebbe omar ein yodeh mahu. These introduce Tanaic sources that seem to contradict the previous citation, and that is what gives ground for Rebbe saying, I don't understand, in light of the contradictions. The volcano shape that you see, or trapezoid, Tshuvos Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Liyashiv Astiros, these are responses of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok to resolve what appears to be contradictions. Now that we've mapped out the Gemara, we start the text. For last narrow line, Tanya, Rebbe Oimer, Ger Tzedek HaOmor Le'inyan Mechira, the righteous convert that is stated in the context of sales, the Ger Toshav HaOmor Le'inyan Ribis, and the sojourner that is stated with regard to interest, Eini Yodea Mahu, I don't know what it is. Ger Tzedek HaOmor Le'inyan Mechira Dichtiv. We have a posuk from Vayikra Perek Chofhei, posuk Lamites, V'chi Yomuch Achicha Imoch, V'nim Karloch. The posuk describes a person becoming impoverished, and as a result, he sells himself into servitude. V'lo lecha, and the pasuk doesn't limit the sale possibility to a fellow Jew. Elo leger, he may be sold to a convert. Shenema lager. V'lo leger tzedek elo leger toshav, and not necessarily the sale to a limited to a ger tzedek, to a righteous convert to Judaism, but maybe even to a sojourner. Shenema lager toshav. The pasuk goes on to say, in that context, Mishpachas Ger, Zeh HaNochri. That's a reference to a an idol-worshipping family, that the Jew who finds himself impoverished may end up selling himself to a totally, say, foreign environment. That's a reference to a person who sells himself to an idolatrous temple. And through that, he will gain his income or his sustenance. This particular series of psukim are darshaned in Maseches Kiddushin and in Maseches Bava Kamma as well, in the context of someone who does not observe the laws of the sabbatical year in a proper form, one who does commerce with Peros Shvias, and this is eventually his punishment, that he'll have to sell himself into servitude, and even to a very far-reaching, desperate situation of servitude, as we just saw in the source. Omar Mor. Now, the Gemara focuses in what is the problem. We quote from the source, and it said here, V'lo l'cho elo l'ger, shenem ala ger. The source indicated that the Jew can be sold into servitude even to a ger. So the Gemara says, Lememra de ger koni evid ivri. Are you suggesting, therefore, that a ger can acquire an evid ivri? Veraminu. Ein hager nikne be'evid ivri, ve'ein isha v'ger kainin evid ivri. A ger is not sold into servitude. Evid ivri is a Jew who is sold into servitude, but a convert cannot be sold into that type of servitude. Ve'ein isha v'ger, a woman and a ger cannot acquire an evid ivri, a Jewish servant. So we have a source just before that said that a ger can acquire a Jew as a servant. This second source, where the triangle appears, indicates that a ger cannot acquire a Jew as a servant. That's the problem. If we see a bracketed section in the Gemara, if we skip the brackets momentarily, you see Rav Nachman Yitzchok, and if you recall in our introductory remarks, he comes to attempt to resolve the problem. And just to get a flavor of the Gemara, we'll skip Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Eino Kone V'dino Ki Yisrael, Avol Kone V'dino Kenochri. We say that the ger, the convert, doesn't acquire a Jew, and the din will be like a Yisrael, but we say he can acquire, and the din will be like a Nochri. What does that mean? We're talking about Jews. What does it mean, dino kenochri, that the din will be like that of an idol worshipper? We will see when we get to that point in the Gemara. We will see that there is a difference between someone who is sold to a Nochri, to an idol worshipper, versus someone that's sold to a Jew. There's a different standard that applies. We can tell you now ahead of time, we'll try to go over it when we get to it again, but someone sold to a Gentile or to an idol worshipper, when that owner dies, the servant, the Jew, that's a servant, does not continue working for his heirs, for his son, for his daughter. So that a convert that acquires a Jew as a servant, the Jew will work for the ger himself, but not if he dies and leaves heirs, he won't continue working for them. Let us now go back. We skipped a few lines. But I hope it's clear that we had the difficulty that Rebbe had, and then we saw Rav Nachman Yitzchok resolve the difficulty. The section we skipped, we now go over that. So we just back up three lines. And in the brackets, by the starred note, which we didn't read before, but it says, Besocha Sograyim Muvoim Mekuros. Within the brackets, there will be sources for the points that were mentioned. Avokvar Lifnei Sograyim Roim Es Hastira. But before we even read, we even get to the bracketed section, we saw the contradiction. So we presented the difficulty, and we skipped the brackets. We provided an answer, courtesy of Rav Nachman Yitzchok. But before we ever got to him, we understood that Rebbe saw the contradiction and felt that it was difficult. Now, the bracketed section. Ger lo nikneh be'eved ivri. This was one of the points that we saw just the line before in the triangled source. Ein hager nikneh be'eved ivri. That point, that namely that a convert cannot be sold as a Jewish servant. The pasuk says, "Vishav el mishpachto bo'inon." The servitude period, upon termination, the servant goes back to his family. Now, a convert, he doesn't have a family to go back to, because once someone converts from a non-Jewish status to becoming a Jew, he is viewed as if he's a newborn. There is room for the term born again, not in the context of, we'll say, the common media, but or common parlance, but in strictly halachic terms, a person who leaves his Gentile status and converts to Judaism is said to be born anew, or born again. So he doesn't have any family. So the pasuk that describes servitude as upon termination he goes back to his family is inapplicable to a convert. Therefore the rule that the source said, that a ger cannot be sold into Jewish servitude, because part and parcel of that is the return to one's family after the termination of the period of servitude. Servitude is a 6-year term of work, which many of you may be familiar with from the Chumash or other Gemaras. Another point that we saw, V'ein isha v'ger kainin eved ivri. A woman and a convert do not buy an eved ivri. Isha lav orach arab. For a woman, it's not within the realm of propriety, proper behavior, proper moral behavior for her to buy a Jewish servant. Ger nami gmiri, with regard to a ger, we also have a tradition, an oral tradition, de makni koni, de lo makni lo koni. Rashi says, gmiri de mikni koni, ha nikne be'eved ivri, one who can be sold into Jewish servitude, kaine eved ivri. We pointed out the contradiction, namely a ger and his ability to buy an eved ivri. The original source indicated that he cannot, and I should say, let me correct myself, the original source said he can buy an eved ivri, and in the triangle source it said that the convert cannot buy an eved ivri. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Eino Koine, the ger does not acquire the dino ki Yisrael, and the law that would apply would be that you find by Jews, which says that when a Jew acquires an eved ivri and he dies, the eved will continue working for the balance of his work term for the son of the one who bought him. So that idea of continued working for the son does not apply to the convert that buys a Jewish servant. Avol kaine v'dino kenochri. However, the ger can buy a Jewish servant, and the law that will apply would be like a Jew bought by a Nochri, Desanya. Hanirtza vahanimkar lenochri. Nirtza is not really our topic now, but it refers to an Eved Ivri that wants to continue working beyond the six-year term. His ear is bored, and he works till the Yovel year. If the owner dies before the arrival of the Yovel year, that Jewish servant goes free. He does not work for the owner's heirs. Vehanimkar lenochri. And that this is what we want to focus on. That's why you see a dashed underline. A Jew who was sold to an idol worshipper, eino oyved, lo esaben v'lo esabas. The Jewish servant does not continue working in either one of these cases, the individual's descendants, his son or daughter. So with that, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the two sources can coexist. The first source that said the Jew can be sold to a ger, yes, he can be sold to a ger. But if the ger dies, that Jew goes free. The source that said he cannot be sold to a ger, that is true that the Jewish servant cannot be sold to a ger and expect to continue working for the ger's children if he happens to have children afterwards. In that sense, he does not continue with the ger's children. So that's what was meant by the ger is not kone an Eved Ivri to have the laws of an Eved Ivri that is sold to a regular Jew apply to him. Omar Mor. Here we have a bracketed section with a double-starred note on the side. Let us take a look at the note first. After the bracketed section, the Gemara returns to the general theme and deals with the second issue that was difficult for Rebbe to understand. And if you skip the bracketed section, you notice the double underline, which with a number 2, which highlights the second point that we saw already. What bothered Rebbe, and that was the issue of the ger toshav that is stated in the Torah with regard to interest. Besocha sograyim, our note continues. Hagemara misyacheses. The Gemara deals with or turns its attention to lahad demuva bebrayset leil, to that which was mentioned in the Tanaic source earlier. So we turn now to the bracketed section, being that it's quite clear to all of you that after the brackets, we'll deal with the second problem that bothered Rebbe earlier. Omar Mar, and a quote from above, V'ein isha v'ger kainin eved ivri. We saw that in the little bays section that we saw in the source on the fifth wide line. It said at the end of the line, V'ein isha v'ger kainin eved ivri. A woman and a convert do not acquire an eved ivri. Nemo delo k'Rebbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Should we say that this is unlike the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? D'sanya isha kaina es hashvachis v'ena kaina es avodim. A woman can acquire a Jewish bondmaid. That's a situation where a girl is sold by her father, as long as she's under the age of 12, into a period of servitude. So a woman can buy a girl as a Jewish bondmaid, but she cannot acquire a slave. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer Af Kaina Es Avodim. Now here we've dashed underline the main words. If you look at our dashed underline, you see Isha is highlighted, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is telling us that the Isha is Kaina Avodim. Well, that's contrary to what the source above said, that Ein Isha Kaina Eved Ivri. A woman does not acquire an Eved Ivri. So that the above source would appear to be unlike Reb Shimon Gamliel, as the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara says, no, we don't have to say that the above source is unlike Reb Shimon Gamliel. Afilu tem Reb Shimon Gamliel. it could be authored by him, velo kashya, and there would still be no inconsistency or no difficulty. Kanbevit ivri, kanbevit kanani. One source said that an isha does not acquire an evit ivri. Okay. The other source said, where Rav Shlomo Leal's name appeared, an isha acquires avodim. Who says that the word avodim, which means slaves, who says that that's a reference to evit ivri? It's not. In the case of an evit ivri, a Jewish servant, so a woman doesn't acquire such an individual. The source that says that a woman does acquire slaves, that's a reference to a heathen slave. Now, I'm sure many of you are raising your eyebrows. If you had to apply superficial logic, you would probably think the opposite. But the Gemara descends into the depths of the human situation and exposes the reality. What was the issue before regarding a woman and acquiring a slave? We spoke about an impropriety, a problem of morality, and what that could lead to, a man and a strange a woman and a strange man coming into her house. Without getting into the vivid, gory details, you can well imagine. Well, wouldn't you think that it depends on an additional layer, namely, would the woman yield to the immorality? Think about this for a second. If the woman would be exposed to the public as having involved herself with the immoral behavior, would she still yield herself to that? So it's on that point that you see all the difference. The Gemara says as follows: Evet Ivrit Sniela. An intimacy between herself and a Jewish man. A Jewish man would not expose his new relationship, and it would remain hush hush. And therefore, she would she could very likely yield to impropriety, to immorality. She doesn't have the. There isn't the deterrent of being exposed. Eved Kanani Poritzla. You're dealing with an idol worshipper, slave. Those kind of people, idol worshipping slaves, would be only too happy to boast how he is engaged in this in this forbidden relationship himself with the Jewish woman owner. And therefore, out of fear of being exposed and shamed in public, she will keep her distance. Oh, well, if she's going to keep her distance, so there's no problem, as far as Rav Shlomo Leal is concerned, in saying that she can acquire the Eved Kanani, the heathen idol-worshipping slave. The Gemara continues, Ela ha detani Rav Yosef. In light of this analysis, what about the following Tanaic source that Rav Yosef teaches? Our Malta. Malta is an almona, a widow. Lo sar bi kalba v'lo tashri bar be'rav bushbiza. She should not raise a dog, nor should she host in her house a bar be'rav, a yeshiva, a Torah student. Bushbiza, meaning host them in her house. So Bishlama Bar Beirav Tzniya La. I understand the opposition of the rabbis to her hosting a yeshiva student in her midst. Tzniya La, he will be quiet if any advanced forbidden relationship ensues. There's no deterrent for her to keep away from him, and We in Torah law want to avoid these kind of immoral type relations. Ella Kalba, the dog. What do you think, that the woman and the dog are going to get on intimately with one another? Kivan de Misrach Bo Mir Secha. Just imagine. And I understand that maybe for many of the listeners, this may be just difficult to imagine, but the Gemara And the rabbis understand the depth of the human experience, and let us just understand this is a reality, that an almona, this is a woman who very likely feels very lonely, and having the comfort of a dog in her presence could lead to problematic problems of forbidden intimacy. I know it's difficult to appreciate that for many, but this is a part of the life, the human reality, and rely on the Torah and the oral tradition and the rabbis to know the real truth. I dare say the intimate truth. However, why would the Tanaic source rule that she shall not raise a dog? If they get on with one another, the dog's going to follow her around. People will see the dog trailing her in all locations. The people will understand, oh, something's going on between the two of them. And Mirta saw that would cause a sense of literally fear that she'll be exposed, so to speak. And she would, and that will deter her. That very exposure would deter her from starting with the doggy. So why should she not raise a dog? Just like Reb Shimon Gamliel said before, that the woman can acquire an Eved Kenani because of this deterrent factor, i.e. being exposed, the dog behavior with her, namely the dog following her all over, will expose this the totally forbidden act, and therefore, why should she not raise a dog? The Gemara answers, Amri, if you're saying that the whole reason for allowing her to raise the dog is the fact that the dog's subsequent behavior of following her around will announce, so to speak, to the public of the forbidden intimacy, not so. Why not? Kevon dechishajilo umsa misrach basra. Since another reality exists, that when she mshajio means she throws at the dog umsa, a piece of meat. Throw the dog a piece of meat. The dog is very appreciative or feels that you're a food provider for it. It will follow you around. Amri Inshi, so people will say upon seeing the dog following her around, Mishum Umsu Deshajio Le Hu De Misrach. Ah, the dog's following her around because she fed the dog once. She threw it a piece of meat. So she'll have that, we'll say that cover, and thereby the deterrent that we described before falls away. So she can have the feeling of being concealed as far as a forbidden relationship is concerned, even though the dog is following her around. People will ascribe that to her having fed it. And so the rabbis go one step ahead and prohibit the almona from raising the dog because of what we described before, the immoral problem that could arise. This is now number two. We have a star at the side of the Gemara text because we've already progressed quite a distance from above, where Rebbe had said this as well was a problem for him. Ger toishav amur le'inyan ribis mahi. The issue of the sojourner that is referred to in the Torah in the context of interest payments that Rebbe said before was a difficulty. Said Lo Yoda Mahi, what is this a reference to? What's the problem? Dichtiv, Chiyomuch Ochicha Umoto Yodoi Imoch Verzaktoboy Ger Vesoshov Vechayochicha Altikach Meitoi Neshech Vesarbis Vyoresim Elekecha Vechay Ochicha Imoch. So in this pasuk, it said regarding a sojourner, al tikach mito, do not take from him interest. Pasuk is referring to neshech v'tarbis, which is interest. It says al tikach mito, do not take from him interest. V'romini, and we see a contradictory source, lovin mehen umalvin oison beribis. This is a quote from a Mishnah that we've seen. that you're allowed to borrow from idol worshippers and loan to idol worshippers in interest. V'chein beger toshav, and likewise with a ger toshav. So there is no interest restriction when dealing with a ger toshav. So how can the line before we say al tikach mita, when here it says it's okay? That is the problem that confronted Rebbe. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak again offers a resolution. Mi ksiv al tikach mitam. When you look at the pasuk carefully, the pasuk that prohibits al tikach mitam is not in the plural form. The pasuk says al tikach mito, do not take from him interest. Mito ksiv, it says from him in the singular, and that's a reference to mi Yisrael, from a fellow Jew. But from a sojourner, you would be allowed to collect interest. And that having been said, so that conforms, or that's then consistent with the triangle source that says, V'chein beger toshav. As you can see, there's a slash mark that appears, and that indicates that there's a new train of thought that follows. Tonu Rabbonon, al tikach meitoi neshech besarbis. The pasuk says, do not take from him interest. Aval atanasilei orev, but you can be for him a guarantor. Those who are veterans of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi recorded Shirim, know that I have said oftentimes that one of the major enemies of students of the Talmud, students of Gemara learning, is the pronoun. That statement, as harsh as it may sound, has very broad application. Whenever you're learning through Gemaras, and it will make reference, he says this and he says that, unless the Gemara says otherwise, it's important to identify who says what. And when the Gemara concludes by saying Komash Malon, for example, and it comes to tell me, or he comes to tell me, you have to identify who is the it or who is the he. And without that, your learning is not necessarily as precise as it ought to be. Here we have a case where the pronoun becomes a major issue in the Gemara. The pasuk says, do not take from him interest, but you can be for him a guarantor. That means someone's going to borrow money, and you're going to guarantee his paying back, offering your responsibility to the malve, to the one who's lending. Don't worry, you can loan him money, because if he doesn't pay back, I'll pay back. Now we ask. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Orev Leman. An Orev, a guarantor for whom? Rashi at the top says, Mihu Hamalve, who is loaning the money, Shani Mutter Lasis Loi Orev, that I can be for him a guarantor. The Gemara continues, Ilema Orev Li Yisrael, that I can guarantee a loan. And we're talking about an interest loan for a Jew who is loaning money. The Hotana, but we have learned Elu Ovrin Beloisaset. The following are violators of the Torah's negative command concerning interest: Hamalve, Vehalove, Heorev, Veedim. We should focus just on the dashed underline expression, the Orev. The Orev, one who guarantees an interest-bearing loan for a Jew who loaned money, is in violation of the losas, of the negative command. Elo lenochri. So what the source at the bottom of Omid Aleph said, that you can be a guarantor for a loan, for an interest-bearing loan, when a Gentile loaned the money. The Gemara asks, All right, let's accept that for a moment, that an idol worshiper loaned money. He loaned money to a Jew. The Jew is a borrower, and I, also a Jew, come along and say to the idol worshiper lender, "Don't worry. If anything happens, I'll pay you the loan with the interest." However, when you're dealing with the let's say the non-Jewish realm of lenders, the practice was that the lender goes directly to the guarantor for collection. He doesn't bother with the borrower. He goes right to the guarantor. The kevon de dine de nochri, the ozil boser arvo, since the practice of the idol worshippers was to go immediately to the guarantor, it's as if then that the guarantor is loaning the money to the love, that he is the one who is giving the money to the Jew who is borrowing, and when the time comes for pay up, it's as if the orev is collecting the money with the interest from the borrower. That which the Orev gives money to the Goy, to the idol worshipper, is considered a separate action, a separate deal. And that means that it's as if the Orev borrowed from the idol worshipper, and the Orev paid back the idol worshipper. So what superficially may have looked like a lender, idol worshipper, lending money to a Jew borrower, and that's it. Not so. Since the idol worshipper seeks payment from the Orev, it's in our mind's eye then, as if the Orev borrowed from the idol worshipper, and he, the Orev, is paying back the idol worshipper, then that means the idol worshipper is out of the picture. And the Orev is now going to be collecting the loan with interest from the Jew who borrowed the money. In other words, it's as if the Orev is the one that loaned the principal to the Love, and he, the Orev, is collecting the principal plus interest from the Jew. Let's now go back to the Gemara and read it in the words. We're going to read again from the third line from the top. V'kevon de dine de nochri, de ozel boser avo, since it's the practice, literally the law of idol worshippers, but it means it's the way of idol worshippers, is to go immediately upon collection time to the Orev. Ihu nihu de koshokil mine rebisa. The result is then that it's as if the Orev is the one collecting from the borrower, from the real borrower, the loan with ribis, and that would be prohibited. Rashi is quite terse, but he's clear on the third line from the top. Hu niu deshokil ribis. Orev ze hilve mina nochri. This Orev is as if he is the one that borrowed from the nochri, from the idol worshipper, the Chosar v'Hilvu Yisrael, and he, in turn, loans the money to the Jew. And then, when time for collection comes, the Orev is collecting the principal with the interest from the Jew, and that's prohibited. So, how do you solve the original problem by saying that you can be an Orev? Granted, you can't be an Orev, a guarantor, for a Jew that loaned money, but how can you even be a guarantor for a loan that where the Gentile loaned the money? Omar Rav Sheshes explains, Shekibel Alav Lodun Bedine Yisrael. The Nochri, that we are making reference to that where you, the Jew, can be an oreg for his loan, namely where for his having loaned money, is that nochri, that lender, that idol worshiper lender, accepted upon himself to behave as Jews behave, namely to go directly to the lova, to the actual borrower. Well, e kibo lov lodun bedine Yisrael ribis nami lo lishkol, if he accepted to behave like a Jew, why then is he collecting interest? He shouldn't be collecting interest either. Omar Rav Sheshes, Shekibo Lov Lazu Velo Kibo Lov Lazu. He accepted the Jewish standard with regard to collection, whom from whom to collect, but he didn't accept the Jewish standard regarding the laws of interest. Therefore, since he accepted the Jewish way as far as from whom to collect, I can be an orev. I'm not the Jew can be an orev, can be a guarantor, because he's not directly involved with the interest payment. Malva Yisrael Moisov Shel Nochri Midas HaNochri V'chulei. Before continuing in the Gemara text, let us glance at the side in the margin. We have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note, and we indicate that this continues till Ayin Beis Omed Aleph, in other words, the next Omed of Gemara. The house marking highlights Shnei Mekoros, two Tanaic sources, Be'inyin Halvois Beribis Bein Yisrael Lenochri. Interest-bearing loans between a Jew and an idol worshiper. You'll notice immediately we have our first house marking we call Aleph. The next one you will find three lines from the top on Ayin Beis Omed Aleph. The immediate topic, the Nosei, Loive Sheni. We'll be describing a loan that had taken place, and the borrower is interested in paying back. The time has come for him to pay back the loan, and a second party enters the picture that says, you know, you have money that you're going to be paying back your lender, give it to me, I want to borrow the money. And our note continues, this second Love wants to receive the money from the original Love, original borrower, Lifnei Shumachziro Lamave, before the original borrower returns the money to the lender. Love Sheni Ze Yishalem Gam Demei Horibis. And this second lender, in addition to borrowing the principal, he will pay the interest. I'm sure you're probably saying, boy, a lot of pronouns over there, and we want to avoid in the worst way any use of pronouns. But it's that very issue that that comes to the fore here, where it depends who we are referring to. So we presented the issue in very general terms, simply referring to a second borrower that enters the picture, taking the money from the original borrower, and in turn, the second borrower will repay the loan together with the interest. We've highlighted the words Osir and Mutter with diamonds. And now we turn our attention to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Malvi Yisrael Moisov Shel Nochri Midas HaNochri Avolo Midas Yisrael. Now that's a phrase that needs explanation. Ketzad. And here the Gemara explains. The source, the opening line told us that one can loan money of a Nochri, with the awareness of the Nochri, but not with the awareness of a Jew. That is hard to understand in and of itself. So we need an illustration. Ketzad. Yisrael shelova mois min anochri beribis. A Jew borrowed money from an idol worshiper with the intent of paying interest. Ubikesh lachzirim lo, and the Jew now wants to pay up the loan. Motzo Yisrael acher, another Jew meets the first Jew, the borrower. The Omar lo, and the second Jew says to first Jew who wants to pay up his loan, Tanomli, you give me the money. I need to borrow money. So you give me the money. Vani el elucho kider shato malelo, and I will pay you back the way in the way that you had agreed to pay him, the idol worshipper. Usser, that's forbidden. What have we just described then? A second Jew is going to be borrowing money from the first Jew, and when the second Jew pays the money back to that first Jew, he will pay him back plus interest. Well, that's forbidden. A Jew cannot pay another Jew interest. Vim hemidoi etzel nochri. If the original Jew borrower gave the money to the second Jew who wants to borrow the money upon the instruction of the Nochri, the idol worshiper said, yes, go give him the money. In other words, the money that you are about to give me, you, Jew number one, give to Jew number two the money. Then mutter, that would be allowed. And now we have another case, it's almost a mirror image. The source goes on. V'chein nochri shelova mois miYisrael beribis. An idol worshipper borrowed money from a Jew with the intention of paying the principal plus interest. Ubikesh lachzirim lo, and the idol worshipper, the nochri, is coming to return the money, the borrowed money. Motzo Yisrael acher v'omar lo. A Jew comes along, meets the Nochri, and says to the Nochri, Tnom li, vani lecho kederech sha'ata ma'aleloi. You give me the money, in other words, loan to me the money, and I will pay you back the money the way you would pay the Jew lender. In other words, I'll pay you, the principal, with interest. Mutter. That's okay. In this case, we see a Jew receiving money from a Nochri, and the Jew will pay back the principal with interest to the Nochri. That's okay. V'im hamidoy etzel Yisrael aser, and if the Nochri was standing by the original Jew lender, and the Jew lender said to the Nochri, you give the money to this other Jew that wants to borrow that, and then that would be a forbidden situation for that, under those circumstances, for the Jew borrower to pay the Nochri, the principal, with interest. Bishlamo Seifo Lechumra. This last point where we said it would be usur for the Jew to pay the Nochri, the loan, with interest. That's a ruling that comes out of we'll say not letter of the law, but it's a statement or a ruling from a chumrah standpoint, stringency. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the upper quarter of the page. Bishlamo Seifa Dekotoni, where it said Im Amido Eitzel Yisrael Aser Demashma Shenochri Zeh Choshev Shlucho Shel Yisrael. It appears that the Nochri is working as an agent, a shaliach, an agent of the Jewish lender. And chumra de rabbonin hu lemesar. In viewing the scenario in those terms, that would be a rabbinic stringency. In other words, it's not letter of the law, but a rabbinic stringency, it appears that the Gentile who borrowed the money is now giving the money to a Jew as an agent of a Jew. So it's in effect, it's like from Jew to Jew, where where the Jew will then be paying back the loan with interest. So it's called a Jewish loan being paid back with interest. Why are we saying that's not letter of the law, but it's only a rabbinic stringency? Da'kaimalon, we have a principle. The shlucha shalom kamosa, the concept of an agent being like the original party, in this case the original borrower be like an agent of the lender. That idea, b'shaleach yisrael b'shliach yisrael ne'amar, that is said when both parties are Jews. The original shaleach, the original sender, the one who appoints the agent, and the agent himself are both Jews. The mitruma gamrina, we learn from the Torah that speaks about appointing an agent for the separation of the truma tithe. The perek sheni de kiddushin atem gam atem. The pasuk says gam atem, and from that word gam, the rabbis shluchachem, which includes not only does the owner of a field have the obligation and power to tithe, but your agent, your appointed agent, can tithe as well. Ma atem b'nei bris, just like you, the ones who the Torah addresses, who own the fields, who are atem, the sholchim, you're the ones that are appointing the agent, are b'nei bris, are Jews. Af shluchachem b'nei bris, so too your agents must be Jews. In the seifa scenario, the shaliach, so to speak, was a nochri, and therefore it's not it's not functioning in terms of Torah level laws of agency. If that be the case, so it should have been allowed. So we say that the seifa, the last ruling of the source, is simply an outgrowth of a rabbinic stringency, thereby forbidding it. Ela, we go on in the Gemara text. Ela Reisha. The Reisha spoke about the lender was a Gentile, and you had two Jews, an original Jewish borrower and a second Jew that wanted to borrow from the first Jew. It said in the Reisha that if the handing of the money from first Jewish borrower to second Jew is done at the request or the instruction of the Gentile lender, it's okay. But now we said, but kevan de'ein shlichus lenochri, since there is no institution of agency when you're dealing with a nochri, then what was happening? It was a Jew giving money to a Jew, and second Jew would pay back the first Jew with interest. In that case, then it's the first Jew is going to be receiving interest from the second Jew. How then can the source say, how could it be allowed? Now, with that in mind, we have to now offer some response. We encounter a triangle. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, we call him simply a continuation, and with a structural note, the triangles that you see, and allow your eye to scan down the page. The triangles are tshuvos la'shela, responses to the question, lama bereisha shel hamakor, why in the first part of the source above, katoni b'mikre shel malve nochri shitziva leiva yisrael losis akesef leiva sheni, where the lender, a nochri, instructs the Jew borrower to give the money to a second Jew borrower, the mutter, why is that mutter? Arei ein shlichus lenochri, we don't say that the Jew is functioning as an agent of the, in other words, the first lender, we don't say that the first lender is functioning as an agent of the nochri. That would have, if that could be, then okay, it's like the nochri is lending the money to the second Jew, but that's not the case, because ein shlichus lenochri. We now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna bar Monoach. Mishmei de Rav Acha brei de Rav Ika, hocha b'mayaskinon, in the Reisha, what are we talking about that we say it's okay? Kagon de Omar Lay, where the Nochri told the first Jew lender, a borrower, again, Gentile lender says to first Jew borrower, Hanichom al gabi karka vipoter, the money that you're coming to pay me, put it down on the ground. And with that, you're out of the picture. Ipoter, you fulfilled your requirements. And he did that. He put the money on the ground. And the second Jew came along and picked the money up from the ground. And that's why it's mutter. Well, Ihachi Maila Memra, if that's the case, then what need is there for telling me a Tanaic source where the result is so obvious? The second Jew, he didn't receive the money from the first Jew in that case. The first Jew is out of the picture when the second Jew comes and picks up the money. So what do I need to tell me? What is there any need to tell about teach in a Tanaic source a case where it's so obviously allowed? Elo Omar Rav Papa, therefore, Rav Papa says, Kigon Shenotal V'Nosan B'Yad. What happened there is the Nochri, the Gentile lender, took the money from the first Jew who borrowed the money, and he, the Gentile, gave the money as a loan to the second Jew. Well, V'Akati Maila Memra, and still, that's obviously mutter. The first Jew wasn't loaning money to the second Jew in that case. So the Gemara responds why it nevertheless needs to be told. Mahu detema. I would have thought, namely without the Tanaic source, I would have thought, Nochri gufei ki avid, that Nochri, the Gentile lender, when he was behaving thusly, adaito d'Yisrael kagomer v'yoyev, he was doing so based on the mindset of the Jew. Don't forget, Jew brought the other Jew to the Nochri. Rashi says, Adaita di Israel, Adaita di Dei di Israel, Share hu hevio etzlo, Vavi Nochri shlucho. And I would have thought that the Nochri there is functioning like an agent of the Jew. I know you'll tell me, but there's no agency there. And I would have thought to impose a rabbinic stringency like we saw in the end, at the end of the source. Oh, Kamash Malon, the Gemara concludes by, I should say that Rav Papa concludes by saying that the source therefore reveals to us not to look at it like that. Not to say that the Nochri is functioning a daita of Israel, but rather he's functioning as an independent entity loaning the money now to the second Jew. Rav Ashi Omar. Now we have a new marking, the bow tie shape is featured on the side, highlighting Shnei Lishonis Bravash. So we have, that's why we call this three Aleph and later three Beis. Ikal Diamri, you'll see later. Rav Ashi Omar, Ki Amrinon, when is it that we say Ein Shlichus LeNochri, that Nochrim are outside the realm of agency? Hani Mili B'Truma, that's with regard to tithing the Truma tithe from produce. Aval B'Chol HaTorah Kulo Yesh Shlichus LeNochri, but with regard to the rest of the Torah, including our case, there is Shlichus LeNochri. And therefore, when the Jewish lender the Gentile lender in the Reisha says to first Jewish borrower, give the money to the second Jew, the first Jew is simply an extension of the Nochri. He's an agent of the Nochri, and therefore the subsequent repayment with ribis will be allowed. The Gemara, though, rejects this, and we have a long marking. V'hod Ravashi Barusa hi. Ravashi's statement is Barusa. Literally means it's outside. Other Girsos say Badusa. It's a joke, or it's imagined. It's made up. In other words, it's not accurate. My Shna Truma Dolo. What's different about Truma that you say that the Nochri does not function as an agent with regard to tithing. Tichtiv, the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yudches Pasuk Chavches says, and before we read the Gemara, take a look at the side where we've included this pasuk. It says, Kein Tarimu Gamatem Trumas Hashem Mikomas Rosechem Asher Tikhu Me'es Bnei Israel Unesatem Imenu Es Trumas Hashem La'arona Kohen. So the pasuk speaks about tithing, without getting into the details who the pasuk is addressing, but at the beginning of the pasuk it said, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem. The word Gam is an inclusive expression. It comes to include something. So the pasuk, the Gemara says, what are you supposed to be is the difference between truma, that there's no agency, dechtiv, atem, gam atem. The pasuk doesn't just say gam atem, it says gam atem. Ma atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris. Just like you, the owners of the fields, are Jews, the Torah is commanding the Jewish people to tithe their fields, so too, the word gam tells me your agents must also, that there is agency, but the agent must be like the sender, the original party. So just like you are B'nai Bris, af shluchachem nami B'nai Bris, so to your agents, that the fact that there exists agency is learned from the word gam. However, it doesn't include everybody, it includes only other fellow Jews. Well, says the Gemara, shlichus decholatera kulanami mitruma gamrinan law. The concept of agency, that concept exists to begin with, is derived from truma. Truma is the paradigm or the archetype of shlichus, of agency. From truma, we extend the concept of shlichus, of agency, to the rest of the Torah. So, Ela de Ravashi. Therefore, Ravashi tried to distinguish or contrast the laws of truma from the rest of the Torah is barusa hi. It's inaccurate. Ika diamri, Omar Ravashi, another version of what Ravashi tried to answer. Hi amrinon ein shlichus l'nochri. When is it that we say there's no agency by nochrim? Hanimili inhu l'didon. That's as far as an idol worshipper serving as an agent for a Jew. Avalanan l'didu, but a Jew serving as an agent for a nochri, like our case in the Reisha, Havina lehu shaliach, we can be an agent of the Gentile. And therefore in the Reisha, where the nochri, who the original lender, instructs a Jew, give the money to the second Jew, that first Jew is an agent of the nochri. And therefore, it's as if the nochri lent the money to the second Jew. However, once again, the Gemara rejects this. V'ha deravashi barusa hi. Maishna inhu ledidon delo. What's different about inhu, them, ledidon, for us, that a nochri cannot be an agent of a Jew, where the Jew is the sender. Dichtiv atem gamatem. L'rabos shluchachem. We learn from the expression gam that there is agency. Ma atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris. Just like you, the owners, are Jewish, or b'nei bris, are children of the covenant, Jews, that is, so too your agents must be Jews. Anan lididu nami, by the same token, us, for them, where the sender is a nochri. Look what it says in the original rule. Ma atem b'nei bris komar. Just like you, the senders, are b'nei bris, are Jews. Then we can talk about the appointment of an agent. But if the sender is a nochri, there's no agency that can get off the ground. So that to describe the reisha as being mutter based on the Jew being an agent of the nochri, that can't be. Elohad Ravashi barusahi. Therefore, that which Ravashi attempted to say to make a distinction between sender Jew agent goy versus sender goy agent Jew just doesn't exist. Ravina Omar. Nehi Dishlichus Lenochri Lesle. Ravina, a fourth attempt to explain the Resha. He says, granted, a guy is not participant in the rules of agency. Zichio midrabonan isle midi dahave akotin. The concept of zichio on a rabbinic level exists, similar to the laws applying to a minor. We'll explain this in a minute, but first let's continue the train. This train of thought. Katan lavav hagav de lesle shlichus. When it comes to a minor, even though a minor cannot appoint or be an agent, nevertheless is le zechiyah midrabanan. The concept of zechiyah of acquisition exists on a rabbinic level. Hachanami loshna. So to hear, in our case with the guy who was a lender of money, the concept of zechiyah will apply, even though, as we said, he cannot appoint a shaliach. Now we take a look at Rashi at the bottom of Ayin Aleph Omid Beis. Zechiyah midrabanan islay shehei Yisrael zoiche litzorech nochri, where the Jew will acquire on behalf of the nochri hilkoch. How do we apply that to the case, to our case in the Resha? Hahu Yisrael zoiche le midrabanan. The second Jew will receive the money from the first Jew. On he'll receive the money on behalf of the nochri. So the Yisrael is zoiche le. He acquires the money on behalf of him, of the nochri, midrabanan, on a rabbinic level. B'halvazu miYisrael rishon. So when the second Jew is taking the money from the first Jew, he's taking the money on behalf of the Gentile. And then when the loan sets into the second Jew, it's as if the second Jew is receiving the money from the nochri, because prior to that, in your mind's eye, the nochri became the owner of it, because that second Jew took the money on behalf of the nochri. So that's Ravino's explanation how the Resha case, where it said imidoi etzel nochri muter, can be understood. The Gemara, though, is not satisfied with this. The Gemara on the second line from the top of Ayin Beis, Velohi, this parallel between Nochri and Kotan doesn't exist. It's true that a Kotan has Zechiyah. That means that someone can receive something on behalf of a minor, and the minor becomes the owner of it. Mirdurabonon. But the reason the minor can become the owner because I receive something on his behalf is because Yisrael osi lichlal shlichus. The Yisrael Jew, the minor who's Jewish, he eventually reaches adulthood and enters the realm of shlichus, of agency. See, the concept of zechiyah, of acquiring on someone else's behalf, we'll say is theoretically rooted in the concept of agency. So the minor, the katan, can acquire through the zechiyah method someone receiving on his behalf, because that katan will one day become an adult and part of the rules, subject to the rules of shlichus. Akum lo asi lichlal shlichus, but an akum, an idol worshipper, akum is abbreviation of oivid kechavim umazolos, one who worships the stars and the zodiac. And an idol worshipper, in short, an idol worshipper never comes to the realm of shlichus, as we saw before, from the drosha of Gam Atem. So in order to understand the resha, the only answer that seems to have withstood the test of the Gemara would be Rav Papa's answer, which was answer number two, where the second Jew, where the first Jew, the first lender, I should first borrower, gave the money to the Nochri, and the Nochri then gave the money to the second Jew. And we pointed out that there was that, that point needs to be taught because of the possibility of thinking otherwise, of thinking that it was done adaita di Israel. Therefore, the source tells me, says Rav Papa, that it's not viewed like that. All the other answers, the first answer, Rav Huna bar Manoach, we ended off saying that the answer put it on the ground. That's obviously mutter. The Rav Ashi, Aleph and Beis were rejected because they're simply inaccurate. And Ravina's explanation based on Zechiah paralleling it to a Katan is also rejected by the Gemara. In our next year, Mirz Hashem, you can see we have already our house marking Beis, indicating a second source dealing with loans between, that involve Jews and idol worshippers. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.